and welcome to the Ask Sue Show. Tonight we've got a bit of a difference. Unfortunately, we haven't got Philippa McKee on tonight due to the fact she's not very well at all. And she's talked to me today. Well, no, she didn't talk to me, actually. She texted me on Facebook, just inboxed me and said, I'm really not feeling very well. I'm so disappointed. I've got so much to do. And she's one of those people that's very, very busy with various different groups everywhere. And unfortunately, she's not very well. So please send healing to Philippa. And Philippa, we're missing you loads and hope you will be back on the show very, very soon. But, you know, on the Ask Sue Show, we always find somebody to step up to the mark. And we find somebody quite special tonight who's a good friend of mine, even though I've never met her yet, but she'll be coming to Shropshire very soon. It's our Debs. How are you doing, Debs?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. So, are you all right? You've been busy?
Oh, don't. What a day. Don't. Oh, don't start me on one yet, sir. I'm just, oh, no way. Oh, I've got some rants tonight, I'm telling you.
Well, I have too, actually. And I've got, whilst talking, I will have to find a newspaper because I've got something to read. And so I need to read that in a bit. So I'll search for that while I'm on the phone to you. But I've got somebody that wants to come and just say a big hello to you, seeing that you're on the show. And he's a good friend of both of ours. So hello, little
Zoe.
Hello,
Deb.
How are you?
Hello, Howard. Oh, how are you?
Are you my friend?
You made me blush.
Wanted to call in and say hello, wish you good luck.
Oh, hello, thank you. Oh, thank you.
I enjoyed our chat yesterday, and I want to tell everyone that how close Debs and I have become and how the miracle of Patrick and just amazing. Just amazing, Debs, and I appreciate everything you do.
Oh, I think you're amazing, Howard. And we have come close now, haven't we? Bless. Oh,
well, anyway,
last night, how long?
I know, we were chatting away there. Anyway, I just wanted to tell everyone real quick, I did speak to Diana Colton back this morning. And her and Jeff, you know, they don't personally get to thank everyone, all the thousands of supporters all over the world. And they do want to thank everyone from the bottom of their hearts, how much it means to them. Diana told me she can't even explain it in words. And I did speak to the one and only Captain Yoakam yesterday, and he had fun on the show, and he will be back. Sue and I have a show planned. I don't want to say anything, but the captain will be back, and he just really enjoyed the show. As far as Memphis, there's a big protest in Bloomfield on Monday at 6 o'clock Eastern. It is in the Save Memphis room, and I have to tell you, the politics here is at its worst. It's just horrible. It's, you know, send Memphis home. And Diana wanted me to tell everyone that the city council has been extremely supportive of them, so doesn't want anyone to think otherwise. And we're going to get them home. We're going to get them home. As you and I
definitely
have said many times, it's just dirty politics again. And, you know, like I made a post yesterday, we are the voice for the voiceless. And trust me, if Memphis could talk, he would say, send me home to Jeff and Diana so I could be on my comfortable couch with them. So, you know, our prayers go out to all of them.
Yes, definitely.
All blessed.
So at the end of the day, what time is the protest then, Jeff?
The protest is at 6 o'clock New Jersey time. 6 o'clock New Jersey time. I believe it's at One Municipal Plaza. It is in the Save Memphis room, and they're expecting a big turnout. And, you know, it's just time to be heard louder and louder. It's just, you know, it's just nonsensical what's going on, Sue. It's just ridiculous. This is a loving little guy. Send him home. Get on with the work. You know, the waste of money that's been going on there, it's crazy. And the people of Bloomfield have been very supportive also. So it's just, you know, as we said, we just hope it's a matter of time before we get that little boy home.
Oh, bless.
Well, at the end of the day,
No, carry on, Debs. Do you know what makes me laugh? And I wonder why. We see cases like John, Patrick, all that. No interference whatsoever. Left with a hatred home, an abusive home, and then Memphis wants to go to a loving home. They take him. What's their... I don't get that.
I don't know. You know, I don't understand it. It's just, you know, like Sue has said on the show many times, they let pedophiles out living near a school. Here's a loving little dog, and they won't let him come home. It's just, it's, you know, it's just beyond me. But, you know, one thing I did want to say, that the captain said on your on the show was, you know, we all, you know, unfortunately, it's a very, you know, it's the system is slow. And that's very, very, very unfortunate, and that's the big problem with it. It's just a very slow system, and you know, it's hard. It's just very heartbreaking. It's just very heartbreaking. But like Diana said, we will get Memphis home. We will get that boy home.
We just cannot give up, can we, to be fair? And to everybody listening, you know, at the end of the day, the same rule applies. We're not asking you to share the pain that Jeff and Diana are going through. We just want you to share the links, share the Save Memphis page, and keep telling your friends. Even if you're just talking to friends, just ask them if they've heard about Memphis and just, again, keep sharing the links. If it was your dog, how many shares would you want?
That's right. And one thing the captain did say, if you cross post, whatever you do, everything is important, every little thing. So, you know, I don't want anyone, like Sue has said and Debs, everything you do is important. Don't assume because you're not going to the shelter and pulling a dog out that you don't matter, because we all matter. We all matter. Everyone makes the difference, yeah. And you have to remember that. So no one out there should be saying, well, I'm just doing a little thing and they're doing that. Don't think that way ever. Ever. Everyone is meant to do what they're meant to do. And I was meant to be a cheerleader, and that's what I do. Sue does what she does, and Debs does what she does. But I guarantee that the day Memphis comes home, you will see me with pom-poms. You will see it. I'll pictures all over Facebook.
I'm looking forward to that already.
But let's not all get offensive and intimidating like Belfast, for God's sake. That was like, keep it nice.
I think the thing is, the lesson learned from before, wasn't it, let's face it, over the Lennox story, is there is no time to be slating people or anything else for whatever reason they are doing what they're doing, and slating people and being threatening down phones and stuff doesn't even need to come into it. At the end of the day, that is just wasting valuable time when you could have shared to another 20 countries or across the other side of the world. So reality check is, just decent shares, decent emails, decent phone calls, or don't bother. Because at the end of the day, you could just literally ruin it, all the hard work and all the shares of everybody else, just by stupidity. But that's just not needed at the moment.
Exactly.
And
you know, we've said, I've talked to Debs about it and everyone, it's all because of little Patrick. And like, you know, when I asked the captain why he thought he was the symbol, I was looking at some early pictures last night. It's true. You look into his eyes, and Patrick knows. He was the chosen one. And, you know, whatever was done to him, but as evil as it was, what was done to him, I believe it was meant to be. I don't want anyone to misunderstand me, but he was the chosen one. And, you know, it's just amazing. I wouldn't be friends with you two and, you know, the friends we've made all over the world. So I guess Patrick was the one who was chosen. He knows it. And pretty soon he'll be officially adopted, and we're going to have a big party for him on that, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And the thing is, I remember before when we were sharing the links over Lennox, you know, and we were literally sharing them everywhere. And even, you know, a week before he was murdered, I'm going to say, let's face it, people were still asking us, who's Lennox?
I didn't know until my JD died in October.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, these people that say, oh, yeah, but everybody else is sharing it. No, but one of your mates might not know about it, and they might just be the person that knows somebody else that knows another million people.
Yeah. That's right.
Don't ever think that it's like you just said, Howard, it's like a pyramid. We're all part of that pyramid, and if one of us pull out of that pyramid, we all can crumble.
And you know, I wanted to give the captain mentioned it, a special shout out to the youth, Cade, who raised $12,000 for Hercules, Sophie in New York, your children. You know, because you know something, if we don't educate these children, then there's going to be no future for the animals. It has to start young. And I have so much respect for the youth, and the captain does, and I know we all do. So. Yeah. You know, a shout out to all of them. A kid that can raise $12,000 for a dog is just beyond me. That's just unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I got to get to work, guys. But I wanted to say hello, Debs. And
hello, Howard. Thank you.
Okay, my friend. I will chat with you soon. And Des, maybe you'll call in on Tuesday for our show.
Yeah, okay, but yeah, actually, I will. I won't phone you tonight. I'll do that Tuesday. Yeah, I will.
Yeah,
okay,
definitely.
Well,
to me,
well,
but
okay, well, okay, well, love to both of you, and everyone, just keep your prayers for Memphis, Diane and Jeff, because we are going to have a victory party on the Sue Show. No two ways
yes.
about it.
Oh,
okay,
definitely.
Guys.
Definitely.
Love you both.
Cheers, love. Thanks ever so much.
Oh, thanks, Charles.
Charles,
okay,
bye.
Talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah,
bye.
Bye. Oh, bless him when they're shy.
Oh. Sorry, I'm pressing the wrong button then. I'll tell you what, he's fantastic, isn't he, Howard? He is absolute a star. And, of course, if anybody's just joined in, that's Howard Eipstein. He's calling in from America, an absolute amazing guy, to say the least. If you've not joined the Save Memphis page yet, it is on the chat, and it will also be on the Ask Sue show as well, so go and share the link there. So it's just mad, isn't it? It seems to have gone on for so long already, doesn't it?
Oh, I can't understand why.
Yeah.
I really can't get it. Why can't I?
It's definitely, yes, it's just definitely, yet again, politics, isn't it?
Yeah, it sounds politics. It's like...
But do you know what, though, Debs? People say to me, it's politics, and I agree, but what exactly are they getting out of it? Because they're not going to be gaining... They're not going to gain votes. But they're not going to gain votes from it or anything like that, are they? So what is the point of it?
I don't know, but there's so many people against dogs out there as well.
Yeah.
I've got, do you know what I mean? Not one of my close friends, does what we all do. They all think I'm mad. And it's like, no, a few of them are coming in now. It's like, oh, thank you. But they all think I'm mad.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, like, it's going to be your dog next.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what we keep saying to people, you know, at the end of the day, people think, oh, well, it'll never happen to me. I mean, let's face it, Jeff never thought it would happen to him, and it has.
It does happen to it. There's a young lad by us, and he's got a staff, and he is the best owner ever. Teenager, everybody would have probably gone, oh, no, no, no. But he is so responsible for that dog. And he saw some adverts in the local pet shop a few weeks ago, which prior to that I'd been in and asked to take them down. They were Ridgebacks cross Rottweiler. £200 or nearest offer. And I was just going to take notice off because I think that's wrong. You can't do that.
No.
And he's actually got one. And he came to see me today and I was like, oh my God, he's so cute. And he's like, Debs, I'm so scared because it is going to be took off me, isn't it? And I didn't know what to say to him. The dog's only 12 weeks old. And
yeah.
He's like, what do you do?
But this is the thing. I mean, my worry is as well, let's face it, these kennels and these, you know, rescue places, they must be getting full of them just by the fact that people are worried of what's going to happen next. And,
yeah.
And then, of course, they get checked out there. So, yes, people, you are putting them into rescues because you're worried of them being taken, but reality check is they go and check at these rescue centres and they're more likely to come and get them from there than they are from your home.
It's, I can't understand that, I just don't want it so much. And I can't find the correct word, so I'm going to go and find it on the dictionary. No, I'm not really. I'm just trying to log into... am I logged into Blog Talk Radio?
I'm not. No, you're not at the moment. No, you're not on the chat. No, love.
No, I'll log in now, Sue, okay? I might be a little bit late. Sorry.
No, it's fine. Do you know, I need to... I've been reading the Shropshire Star, which is a local paper to us, and this the first one's the 25th of September, so that's Tuesday. And it's telling the story of a man that, it says, blind piano tuners, 50 years with dogs. And it says, a blind piano tuner who is still working at the age of 85 has been honoured in a ceremony celebrating his 5 decades of guide dog ownership. Eddie Wilkins Wilkins, who lives in Copthorne in Shrewsbury, has been handed honorary life membership of the Guide Dogs for Blind Association in recognition of the milestone. A ceremony was held for him at the Hampton by Hilton Hotel on the outskirts of Shrewsbury to recognise his commitment of the charity as a guide dog owner and a volunteer since he first started using the trained dogs in 1962. Now partnered by his sixth guide dog, Benton, Mr. Wilkins has worked as a fundraiser and speaker for the charity. He said he was delighted with the honour from the charity bosses. It went very well and it was quite a surprise, he said. It's a wonderful organisation. I love talking to the children about it because they ask such lovely questions. Mr. Wilkins, who lost his sight in his teenage years, said it was far harder for blind people to get by without a guide dog in modern times than back in the 1960s. It is much more difficult now than then. If you walk down a busy road with heavy lorries going by, you can't hear people walking towards you, he said. He added that he was very grateful to have been able to see during the early part of his life. It's a good thing because I know what things look like. If you have seen, you can make a mental picture, he said. Some people say it's better to be born blind, but I don't agree. Mr. Wilkins still keeps himself busy by working as a piano tuner, as well as producing CDs of classical music, which are sold to raise money for guide dogs. He said that despite that, what some people might believe, being blind did not necessarily give him an advantage as a piano tuner. I don't think I hear any better. It is the way you use your ears and knowing what to do with them. Ooh. And there's a picture of him with the blind dog, flipping egg, with the dog, the guide dog, and obviously some older pictures of him when he was younger as well and other dogs that he's had. And what an amazing story.
That's sweet. Well, sweet.
You know what I mean? Absolutely fantastic. Really good. And this is the thing, there's so many people that, you know, don't even get recognised with all the work that they're doing. Do you know what I mean?
But bless. That's really nice. Do you know
what I mean? Exactly.
I'm on Blog Talk now.
Are you sorted? Are you on there now, are you, love?
Yes, I am. I'm on my dad's laptop. I'm not on mine, so I don't know where anything is because he's changed everything. So, I'm not even on there.
Oh, bless you. So that was quite an amazing story, do you know what I mean? And this is the thing, there's so many, I mean, there's people that do rescue animals and dogs and stuff and never even get recognised or anything for what they do. And because there's like Rachel at Shropshire Cat Rescue who's helped me sorting out the cat collection I suddenly appeared with. And they're sorting out vouchers so I can get them all done and everything before I get them rehomed. So that's absolutely fantastic. They've helped so much. And that's what it's all about. You know, she just does so much. I know her husband was answering the phone and he said, do you just wait a minute? He said she's just out with the cats or she was just dealing with somebody. And this is the thing, people don't see what actually goes on behind the scenes.
No, definitely not.
So, no, it's absolutely fantastic, say the least. So, any other dog updates you know of, Debs?
No, actually, only like obviously Kylo's date in court, but that's about it. I haven't been on. My dad's been poorly, as you know, so I haven't been online until now, and it's like, but I'm just looking now.
Yeah. Well, I know that Buster, the dog that had no teeth, is actually being sent home as well. So that's brilliant news for our friend Mark Shirley. Obviously, I hope, Mark, you're listening. I hope you're okay. Absolute fantastic news, to say the least. And I still can't actually... I still can't work out why exactly he even got took off him in the first place.
God knows.
It's just mad.
Right. Obviously, this is wrong, what's going on with all our dogs. And it's totally, totally wrong. But what can be changed and what could we do? How would it be done?
How would what, sorry?
How would it be changed? You know, how could people say, how could we change it? And what would we change it to? Obviously, with the it's not the dog, it's the owner. But what rules would there be? Well, not rules, laws, sorry.
See, what my thoughts are, we should have OSL, which is owner-specific legislation, and
yeah,
all
definitely.
Dogs should have the same sort of documentation as a car.
Yeah.
Okay? So they'd have, obviously, they'd have a logbook because it would have their name, their date of birth, you know, who's what and where they were brought from and everything else, where they were born and everything else is on it. Then you'd have the insurance because every dog should get insured. So that would then, if everybody had to get insured, that means the dog insurance people would have to make it cheaper. Because there'd be more of them.
It would work out better for them if they did, wouldn't it, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that would make it even cheaper. And then you've got microchipping, because obviously that's got to all link in with that. Then you've got the MOT, which at the end of the day, we would say to people that they need to take their dog to a vet every year. And it'd be compulsory, and you'd have it at the same thing, so it could actually be computer-generated, like we do when we take the car. It's all connected to the DVLA, and you can actually have it where they can actually look at the DVLA, you know, a dog's DVLA, and they'd be able to say, yes, that dog has got this, this, and this. Last time he went to the vet, there was this wrong with him. So as soon as they're found... So let's just say, how many times have we seen, for instance, a dog that's on the internet, he's lost or been stolen, and he's got a medical condition, they need to be found ASAP. If we've got a dog gone into a vet, he gets obviously scanned for a microchip, and on that, it would say that he's got a medical condition, and straight away, the vet could actually do something about it.
Yeah. Totally.
Do you know what I mean? So each thing, it would literally be like a car situation. So they would know everything about that dog. And plus, let's face it, we don't even know, although I'm sure somebody may stand up and say I was wrong about this, but I can't see that we know exactly how many dogs there are in the world.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
How many actually know? Do you mean? Because we've got no record of how many, there's no dog licensing or nothing. So if we had dog licenses, the dog MOTs, like a DVLA for dogs and everything else, we'd actually find more out about the dogs, how old they are, when we've had a rise in puppies and all of that. So every single dog would then have to be registered.
That's good. That's a good idea. I'm getting carried away. Carry on.
So, do you know what I mean? So I think that would be just, it's literally to make a difference. We need to start seeing how many dogs there are actually that in the world, or what's actually wrong with them and all sorts.
It's mad. I haven't got a clue how many dogs even live in my town.
No, exactly. Exactly. Do you mean, and we don't even know half of that. You know, the amount of stuff that we could do, we're finding out, but we don't know the half of it.
Yeah.
And we can't say to the government or whatever half of the stuff because we don't actually know half of the information.
Yeah.
And for those people that will stand up and say, well, actually, there's 50,000 in such and such, how do you know? Because how do you know that not 20% of them haven't just had pups?
Yeah.
We don't know how many of them actually been spayed and neutered. Plus, you could actually start to make people, you know, get their dogs neutered and stuff as well. Unless they're reputable breeders, then that's obviously a different story.
It's so rife where I live with staffies and staffy crosses and bullies, like American bulldogs. Everyone's got them. And then you see pups in the window, and it's like, what? Why? And they're all into bread now, obviously. We're all into bread. And then you see the teenagers, with them, and you see some wonderful people with the dogs around here. But then you see the idiots standing outside the shop going, go on to his dog. And I thought, oh, my God. And I have to say something. I can't keep my mouth shut. It's really bad. And it's like, they're looking at him, it's like, what do you know? And I'm like, look, how dare you? I'm trying to tell you, like, your dog's going to get took off you, you carry on like that. He's having a me. Oh, fuck, do you know? Sorry, Sven. And all that. And he's like, I can't believe it.
Yeah,
ignorant.
Exactly.
And then you get the mum, lock my door. That's even better. I'll carry on.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's just amazing. Honestly, I don't know. The thing is, people want so many changes. I mean, we're saying about the people wanting the ending of BSL. BSL has been going on for years and years and years. And I just don't, I just can't see the government ever changing that. I think we just need a whole new level where literally we need to say, look, we need to keep an eye on how many dogs we've actually got and everything else. It's like Lisa Barretta was saying that nearly every family's got a dog.
Yeah, they have, haven't they?
Do you know what I mean? As, you know, in America where she was, she said in her area, they've actually pretty well, most, nearly every house has got a dog. Do you know what I mean? So if anybody wants to call into the show and come and have a natter with myself and Debs, by all means, give us a call, 347-327-9694. Or you can call from the UK, 001-347-327-9694. So, right, what was the other thing I wanted to say? So if anybody thinks that that's a good idea with the changing of the laws with the dogs, doing it so that we can actually say to people they've got to register their dogs and everything, by all means, join. I've got a website which I'm just finding. That website. I've got a group on Facebook, and it's called OSL instead of BSL. So I'll find that link in a minute, and I'll share that onto the chat. If anybody wants to join, by all means, you're more than welcome. I'm just trying to think. There was something else that we wanted to bring forward, and I can't remember what it was. Oh. Now, Philippa wanted me to mention about badges tonight as well.
I was supposed to ring her last night as well, and I totally forgot.
Yeah. Well, I've obviously they're on about in Gloucestershire, starting the cull of badgers. Now, I found this quite interesting. Seeing Gloucester, obviously, isn't a million miles away, but in the Shropshire Star, again, Tuesday, 25th of September, they're saying about a five-year trial at Wildlife Trust Reserve, Nature Reserve, in a secret location. And it says vacation, start again, it's not vacation at all, it's vaccination plans for county badgers. And it says badgers are to be vaccinated against tuberculosis at a secret location in North Shropshire as part of a trial by conservationists. Shropshire Wildlife Trust has allowed the five-year trial to take place at one of its nature reserves in a bid to show that badger vaccination can successfully control the spread of the disease, which can spread to cattle without the need for a controversial extensive cull. Farmers say bovine TB is the biggest threat to the beef and dairy industries, and they blame badgers for spreading the disease. Shropshire conservationists have joined forces with Cheshire Wildlife Trust, which is running a similar trial at a second site in South Cheshire. Officials said they were not disclosing the locations until the trial was completed, but hoped to demonstrate that badger vaccination was a more effective and humane way of controlling the spread of TB between wildlife and livestock. Traps. It comes after the government announced earlier this month that a trial cull of thousands of badgers would go ahead in Gloucestershire and Somerset following an unsuccessful legal challenge from wildlife supporters. Helen Trotman, Trust spokesman, said that 40 traps were being laid across the two sites and trapped badgers would be inoculated with a commercially available badger BCG vaccine before being released. She said, at the end of the 5 years, we hope to have a good level of immunity within the badger population. By reducing TB in badgers, we would be reducing the risk of transmission to cattle. The Trust realises that something has to be done about TB, and we are committed to working with landowners and farmers to show there are viable alternatives to a cull. She added the first phase of the trial would be completed by next month. If the trial colour is deemed successful, the government said it could be rolled out across England in the future. So after reading that, they've sort of stumbled because, okay, all of the rest of that, all of that that I've just read is all brilliant. But at the end of the day, the government is saying they're going to trial this cull in Gloucestershire. But why are they doing that? If they've said, and I'll re-quote this, if the trial cull is deemed successful, the government said it would be rolled out across England in the future. Well, in that case, don't go and do a cull in Gloucestershire and then say in the future, we didn't actually need to kill them because we've done this now. Why not wait to see if this vaccination thing works, which is only, by the looks of it, going to be a 2-3 month wait, and then say, actually, that didn't work, if it doesn't, or whatever?
There was somebody that I know that was actually involved in the relocating of them, and where he lives, he's had a set or so put there, yeah? And it was a case of, if that works, see how far they walked, where they went. And they don't actually go that far. They're there now, and they haven't done anything. And it's like, it's proof. It works.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's not about moving them so much. It's more about the fact that they're saying of them passing this TB. So at the end of the day, if we can give them inoculations to stop them from having TB in the first place, then why the hell aren't we just doing that? Because let's face it, surely to goodness, it is going to be cheaper for us to do inoculations to badgers and catching them, and also doing obviously research to see about these badgers, rather than going there and killing all these badgers and then in time saying, actually, we did the wrong thing. I'll tell you what it sounds like. It sounds like, and this is going back a few years, Edwina Curry with all those chickens when they slaughtered all them chickens because of Salmonella. And then goodness knows how much longer she turned around and said, oops-a-daisy, we made a mistake.
Yeah. I know, person I know, that a lot of farmers around there, and they're like, no, because badgers breed, obviously, and the curves, and it's going to take years, a few years to get TB out, and it is, if we're all honest. And the person I know is like, well, relocate them somewhere where they can't be in touch with cattle, immunise them, and let them go on from there.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I think people have got to, like, get the relocating as well, because there's no point, there is a point in immunising them, but the farmers, they're just going to come back with, that's not now, that's not instant. They want instant, obviously. That's not instant.
Yeah.
That's going to take years. I probably wrong, but I personally think they need to relocate them, immunise and relocate.
Yeah.
And if they're carrying TB, they're on their own little TB hill.
Yeah, but the other side of that coin is, that then means we've got two options. Either we immunise them, if the set is too big or there is an issue why we can't move them, and then if we can move them, yes, do so, but the trouble is because there's so many farmers with cattle and stuff, a lot of them will stick together and say, no, we don't want them on our land either, so where do we move them to?
But there are people that will take them.
Yeah, but the trouble is, there's a lot of work involved with that, though, because I've seen this before, because we had to, I've actually found badgers, and we released them back in the wild, but we had to do all the checks to make sure that there was not badgers in that area, because otherwise, if you move them to an area that there's already badgers, you'll end up with a world war on your hands, and you may as well have killed them all off.
Yeah. Where they got relocated, I know. He's a farmer. He's got a wood. And they were in the woods, away from the cat. And he actually took risk on his stock to prove a point, because, like, obviously, I don't know what obviously he was, actually, but he wanted to prove a point and save them, and, like, this will work. And he actually had a set, not from around here at all, relocated to his the end of his property. And they're still there. There's no TB on him. They haven't wandered off. It's weird. Surely there's people around there. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
In 10 years' time, we've got no badgers. What's a badger? I don't know. What's a badger?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And the other thing is, let's face it, we've got a big enough cull in the whole of our country as it is. Because how many badgers do we actually see killed on the road every single day? And the other side of this is, I also know for a fact that gamekeepers and everything are still killing badgers, shooting them, putting them on the side of the road or on the road, so it looks like they've actually just been killed on the road.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, the government is saying, yes, you can't do this, that and the other with it, but now they've turned around and said, but actually we'll kill a few off anyway. So realistically is, they're saying that they will put somebody in court that's shot a badger, because they're protected, but then on the other side of the coin, it's all right for the government to go around and do a call. How does that one work?
It's wrong, isn't it? It's like, hello.
It's all politics again, isn't it?
It is politics. And it's like, oh, we can do this, we can do that. And at the end of it, it's like, oh, no, we can't.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you what, a politician ought to live in like a week of our lives, do you know what I mean? See what we do. Well, not me, but do you know what I mean? And just think, oh my God. And sit there and see like John and all the dogs and everything. And see how they feel. And see if they change their mind.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely, man. I'm just, I've also put a link to a website that says about badgers. And it's got loads of different questions that people, you know, they're asking, you know, what do they look like? And like, can badgers climb trees? And the answer is, yes, well, sort of. Badgers are strong enough to have claws. This means they can scratch bark off trees and eat the grubs that live inside. They can also climb some way up a tree trunk to do this, but they don't climb trees in the same agile way as, say, squirrels. Do you know what I mean? So it's just absolutely amazing. Do you know what I mean? There's loads of different things. Now, this is a funny part.
I didn't realise it.
Sorry, go on.
I didn't realise this was still going on. I really didn't. Because I had mercy on Bingy's land. They're just relocated. It was going to be relocated, immunised. And as far as I thought, which I obviously not, they'd won it. And it was relocate, immunise, no killing. And this is when Foot and Mouth was out years ago, about 7 years ago. It was like, I thought it'd all been like over until like seeing Philippa. It was Philippa actually. I'm thinking, whoa, way.
Yeah, but do you know what, isn't it funny though, you think back, you know what we're saying about the dogs, there's been parts in the dogs where we've had Rottweilers, then it was German Shepherds, then it was another, and there's all these different dogs. Hasn't it been the same thing with animals anyway? We've got badgers at the moment, we've had chickens before now, we've had cows because of Foot and Mouth, so, you know, again, what's next? You know, they've sorted out so that the hunting stopped. They dealt with that,
so that's
boxes. But do you know what I mean? But there's so many different things. It's just ridiculous. Again, the government saying you can't do this and you can't do that, but then change it and let you do it another way. And have you actually seen, and I'm being sarcastic, but have you actually seen a van going round to check that a hunt is actually hunting properly? And have you actually heard of any hunt going to court because they have actually been hunting still, even though they're not supposed to?
Someone went down, didn't they? The head of the hunt, he went down a few months ago, got in prison for illegal hunting.
Well, I must have missed that one on the news.
Yeah, it's I'll send you the link. It's about 2 months ago. Got caught for illegal hunting. And I think it was about 3-4 years. It was made a right example of. And he's like, yeah, go.
Off you go.
But I'm sorry. They didn't win the Let's Go Hunting All the Way, but they got it to an agreement. I think it's 8 hunts a year, isn't it, for supposed to. I'm sure I might be wrong. But they got it to an agreement, and then they break it. So what do they expect?
Exactly.
It's just
ridiculous to me.
Down personally.
It's just ridiculous, the whole lot. But if anybody else wants to join in the conversation, wants to give us a call in, 347-327-9694, or you can call in from the UK, 001-347-327-9694. So I'm just seeing if I can actually find that, actually. I can't see anything on there. I must look for that. So after the show, Deb, so I must look for that piece about that diagram thing.
Oh, I'll have a look at my pictures of Toddy. There's loads of comments. I was talking to a woman, I think she lived in Jersey or something, about it. And it was the day they'd actually been sentenced. And there's about 54 comments because there's a picture of Fox Cub on my page. And I'll have a look now at Todd's pictures and I'll get the link.
Okay.
But I was like, yay.
Exactly, this is right.
Fair play.
Absolutely. I'm just seeing if there's anything else I need to be reading out here. Oh, I know there was something else that I really do want to share with everybody tonight. And I must admit, I've actually made my children watch this as well. So I want to read everybody this. Because this really got to my heart. This is changing the subject totally at the moment, so you must bear with me for this. There is a little guy called Oscar Knox. I don't know who's actually seen it, but I want to tell you the story. I have made the kids watch this and told them to take a reality check because they're fighting with each other over stupid things, over whether who will do the washing up or whatever, or who will sit in the front seat of the car. And for those pathetic people that are out running people down and everything else on Facebook and just ready to cause trouble, just listen to this story. And this is a reality check for us all when we're whinging about how we feel or whatever, right? It says, Oscar is fighting stage 4 now I'm going to say this wrong probably, but they'll have to just cope with me for saying it wrong, neuroblastoma, an aggressive childhood cancer. Oscar needs immunotherapy treatment to help stimulate his immune system so that Oscar's own body should be able to recognize and attack the neuroblastoma if it was to return. This is always a worry with this deadly disease where the relapse rates are high. Oscar's parent, Stephen Leona, said Oscar is such a positive, happy wee lad. He is always smiling, and everyone who meets him falls in love with him. Despite what he is going through, he always has a huge smile on his face. The treatment abroad that Oscar needs costs as much as £250,000. We ask everyone to please do whatever they can to help give our son the chance of life and ensure we get him the treatment he desperately needs. If anyone would like to get involved with the Oscar Knox Appeal, please email teamoscar@hotmail.co.uk. Oscar's parents started a blog when he was first diagnosed. To read about Oscar's journey from the beginning, visit http and it's oscarknox.blogspot.co.uk. So I'm going to post this link onto the chat as well, and anybody who wants to go and have a look at this, because I tell you what, it's just amazing. It just does a reality check for us all. We're all whinging about how bad life is and everything else, and the reality is it's nothing compared to what that little guy is going through. Yeah. So have you seen that story, Debs?
No, but I'm going to look for it now, but I can imagine.
Just amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'm just going to have a quick look on his page to see if there's anything up. And he's got 10,500 likes and just under 6,000 people talking about it. So come on, let's see if we can get some more likes on his page, because at the end of the day,
where is he from?
There's a very good question. Let me just have a look. I don't actually know. Wait a minute. Let me just have a look, because there's also a justgiving.com. I think it's a chip-in for him as well. So right. I'll just have a look on there, because it might say on there where he's from. Do you know what? They've actually had £106,000, nearly £107,000 donated of the £250,000. That's 42% already. And they've got they've had 2,493 donations.
Bless.
That's absolutely fantastic. Do you know what I mean? Amazing. So everybody, if you want to share that, two friends and everything, by all means share that everywhere, because you know that's amazing. I will just have a look, see if I can think. Bill's just put he thinks it's Scotland. I think it might be, because if I read. Think back, it did say something about we lad or something, which obviously is it in there. So, let me just have a look and see anything else. Join We Oscars Green Bucket Army. What's that about?
Yes. Telling me can't have
Green. Do you know where he's actually from?
Where?
Belfast.
Really?
It says, we Oscar from Belfast is 3 and fighting your, whatever that word is, an aggressive cancer which affects young children. He needs to raise sufficient funds to allow him to receive the treatment required to save his life. We're planning a bucket collection at Celtic Park to raise some funds and are looking to recruit 100 volunteers to assist.
I think we ought to do it.
Sorry?
I think we ought to do it.
Well, I'm trying to think when they've actually done. I think they've done that. I think they've done that one, but I'm sure they'll be doing other things too. So, yes, maybe we can join into that. It's got. Oh, let's have a read of this one, because there's one called Team Oscar Gala Ball, an evening of entertainment hosted by Adrian Logan, featuring Mae Feltridge and a host of special guests and sporting stars. In aid of Oscar Knox appeal, Thursday the 11th October, 2012. So if anybody wants to go to that, I'll share that picture as well. So if anybody wants to know any more information about that, but just join the Oscar Knox appeal, because obviously all the information is on there as well. So just keep sharing those everywhere. So let me just have a look at that. We'll have a short. Little song in a minute, just so me and Deb can grab a bit of a quick drink.
what are you putting on first, Sue?
Good question. Let me have a look.
I just want to know if I'm putting my high heels on to dance or my boots, that's all.
Oh, bless. I know which one. We'll have Lone Star.
Cool.
It's a bit of a slow one, so I don't think you'll need your heels, love. It's a chill-out one. So me and Debs will be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll have a bit of Lone Star and we'll be back to have a bit more of a natter. Catch up in a bit.
Almost more than I can take. Baby, when you touch me, I can feel how much you love me, and it just blows me away. I've never been this close to anyone or anything. I can hear your thoughts, I can see your dreams. I don't know how you do what you do.
Welcome back to the Ask Sue Show. Just had, obviously, our little break, and we welcome Debs back to the show. Hi, Debs.
Hello, how are you?
All okay, feeling a bit better. But, no, chilling out now. But still thinking, obviously. Still sore. I literally went to the hospital, and he said, yes, I've probably done something to my coccyx. Which is at the bottom of my spine, but the thing is, they can't, there's no point in them x-raying it, because even if it was broken, even if it was chipped or whatever, there's nothing they could do, so they just said it's just got to be left at it and heal itself.
Oh, ouch.
Yes, not good at all.
I mean, obviously, coccyx, but 2 weeks later, and it was like still a little bit sore, but not like yours.
Oh dear!
Look at me.
Sometimes I get in. Sometimes I get in the car and don't know where to put myself. Just mad.
Oh, bless.
So, absolute mad. So yeah, just to repeat, www.justgiving.com/Oscar appeal for anybody who missed out the link for Oscar. Knox, I'm hoping to get them on the show, obviously to tell us their story and everything. So, but, you know, anybody that wants to share the links, please do so. Let's get the word spread around for them as well. So I'm just thinking if there's anything on Facebook that I need to give any updates on or anything. Can you think of anything, Debs?
I can, but I can't say it on air.
Oh, right.
No, I'm joking.
Bless you.
Let me have a look. I'm trying to think. So I'm still trying to log into Blog Talk Chat. This won't let me on at all.
Yeah. Just want to have a quick mention to the NYC Teens for Animals. There's one on there at the moment that says, Sunny's a rescued puppy mill dog who spent her entire life in a cage producing puppies. Our friend sent money and she was saved at an auction in Ohio by Wolf Spirit's Toy Breed Puppy Mill Rescue. Ollie is a kitten rescued by our friend Becca Wilcox from ACC. His eyes are damaged from a viral infection and he is blind, but he can probably detect light and shadows. And that's with Sophie Potter, cat in Brooklyn, and she is 13 years old. So anybody who says, you know, oh, well, I can't do a lot, if 13-year-olds, just like Jamie, can do groups and everything, there is nothing stopping anybody else. So please, everybody, join God Help John the Dog as well. And that's Jamie, who's 13. That's his group. So, you know, if they can make a difference, so can all of us as well. So,
they put so many people to shame, don't they? They're doing this, and people can't even go enter on the post to share it.
Yeah. Exactly, and it's like Emma, with she's done I Love All of My Animals, and she shares pictures, and I've seen some of the pictures that, you know, she sent and stuff, and the stuff that she's seen, and people have said to me, yes, but why should they see them animals? I'll tell you why, because it's reality, that's life. I don't want them to be able to see that in years to come.
If you cover their eyes from it, Sue, later on in time, in like when they're 16, 17, no, like 18, 19, they're going to be like, what?
Yep.
And they're going to fit. Kids are not young kids, obviously. So please don't say anything. I'm not telling you to go and make your kids look at, like, really sick photos of animals. But kids need to be aware. They need to know what's going on. They know what's going on. They grow it to appreciate their animals. And if they don't, then if they don't know what's going on, they don't know the, do you know what I mean? They don't feel that twinge in their heart because they've seen a cruelly treated dog. But if they're knowing what's going on, they do.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I've just shared on the Our Sue Show group a picture from Evolve Campaign's photo. And it's of a lion in a concrete pen. And then there's one from below it of obviously the two lion and lioness in a, obviously, a proper park thing, and that was shared on there 10 minutes ago. And I tell you what, it's just absolutely amazing to see the difference, and the top picture should never happen. It's just absolute terrible, to say the least. Do you mean? So, it's absolute mad.
I can't understand why, you know, like when you see people, dogs like John, and where are the neighbours, where are the family? Surely people have not seen that before they were dumped. Where are they? Why aren't they shouting out?
Yeah, exactly. And this is the trouble, isn't it? They only see if you're having an affair or something, something ridiculous.
It's like if I saw my neighbour's dog like that, not that they've got a dog, I would go mental. I wouldn't even let it get there. But I would go absolutely mental. I'd report them. I'd take them. Do you know what I mean? And if I saw their dog dumped and then it was advertising me news and that, I'd tell them whose dog it was too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, they need to be, like, woken up. Hello. Just because you're not cruelly treating your animal, your neighbour might be, your brother might be, your sister might be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But there's so many people that still get away with these dogs and everything.
Yeah.
But then the other side of that coin is at least the RSPCA have got stronger rights now than they did have before.
Yeah.
Do you mean they don't seem to have as many rights before? Do you mean where people, you know, if they went to somewhere and there was an ill-treated animal, they could literally, they'd have to put like sellotape on the door to see if the people were coming back. And they're not able to go on their property and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's it. And they can only, sorry, I've got reported by my ex loads of times for cruelty to my Charlie and Jay. I used to come in and say, hello, Debbie, sorry, and walk out. And each time people waste their time reporting someone because they don't like the neighbours or they're just being vindictive, think of their time. They're not saving another dog that needs it. or a cat, or, oh, give my head in. Don't, oh, how people just, like, think it, the RSPCA are to, like, fucking be vindictive against your neighbours because, like, you fell out of them. It's playground politics.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just had a little rant then because the RSPCA called me about JD. JD died in October.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen it, me kicking. Yeah, right. Sorry. Over that little
Oh, it's just mad, isn't it? Absolute mad. Really is.
I'll tell you what we're looking for. As you know, my dad's had his operation and that, and in about 6 weeks' time, he'll be able to go, like, start walking again and that. We're looking for a little bit of an oldie Dachshund. Because he used to have a Dachshund about 10 years ago, and she had to be put down at old age. And
right.
getting out and about, he'd love another little Dachshund, but he wants one from a rescue, one that needs a loving home. Obviously not a pup or anything. He just wants love and, like, ponder around with him. So if anyone hears anything or sees anything, it's a shout.
Right, I will look out for you as well, love.
So, yeah, but bless him. I can't believe my mum's letting him have a dog. Normally it's her that has to have the dog. No, he's never had... No, I've had a dog. Loads of dogs. We've all had loads of dogs in the house and that. And they're forever dogs, not get rid of, have a dog and get rid of. And I remember my dad wanted a Lakeland dog when he used to go across the fields where we used to kick horses. My mum's like, you're not having a dog in my house. And she got three of her own. And then as soon as my dad said, he'd seen this lately and he was going to get it, my mum gets the Yorkshire Terrier and says, it's too full now. I thought, oh, my God.
Oh,
when
really?
When my mum said, yeah, let's get you a little dog, I nearly died. He fell off a chair. I thought, oh, great. My dad's getting the dog. She's very excited.
She's obviously been looking on your Facebook at all them dogs that need rescuing.
Oh, don't. I show them all the time. I have my mum in tears all the time. She thought it was just me being a little bit Facebook obsessive, playing games. And, oh, yeah, right, Mum, look at this. And look at this. And she's like, oh, my God. And she's just in tears all the time. So if she shouts at me, I'll just play the video.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm going to definitely have a look now to find your dad a dog.
Yeah, he wants a little dad. That's the deal. But, you know, she needs a little sausage dog or something. And it's like, what a sausage dog? He went... Well, why have you got staff? Fair enough. I said, but what about any dog? And he went, well, yeah, because obviously, he's a little Daxie. Oh, bless.
Aww.
But his Daxie was sweet. It was a person we know that the dad had died, the owner had died, and he was quite a big man. And when we brought him to my mum, she's only going to have him for a few weeks till we rehomed her, and she was crying real tears. And she settled a little bit. My dad walked in the room, and because he's quite big build, she thought it was like, must have thought it was his old, and she sobbed. And oh, so sad. But he used to have to take it, drive around the block every morning. As soon as she picked the keys up, he was there. And he's like, come on, then, Dad, we're going for a walk. He used to have to take her to work and everything. And my dad's quite big. So there he is with his little sausage dog. He's a really
bless. Well, I'll definitely have a look round and see what I can find for you. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
you never know, do you? You never know. So,
yeah.
But do you know what? There's quite a few breeds you don't see many of now at times. I haven't seen a Dachshund for ages.
No, I haven't. But, it's really weird. It's a shame that we don't see... No, I won't say that, actually. I'll shut up. But, no, we don't. Don't see them like, oh, fox terriers or anything like that. Why are there fox terriers or... Do you know what I haven't seen for ages? A poodle.
Is what?
A poodle.
No, I haven't.
In my town, I mean, I haven't seen a poodle.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? There's one lady, I haven't seen her for ages, and anybody listening in Shropshire who lives in Ellesmere will know who I'm on about. There's a lady in Ellesmere who has a mobility scooter, and she's got quite a biggish poodle. You know the big, the quite tall ones, aren't they?
Yeah.
And do you know what? She used to walk miles with that dog, with this thing, and this dog would, and I always think, oh my goodness, what if she runs over his toes or something? Do you know what I mean? But to be fair, that dog was always looked after, and admittedly, you know, it ran alongside her while she was in, and it was brilliant. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But yeah, but I haven't seen that person for ages. I must ask about that. Isn't it funny how something very quickly reminds you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, our town's like staffy breeds, and that it's all like no offence if anyone's listening to the chap, all like chavs and all like that, and it's like, oh, this
yeah.
is ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things a month get destroyed at our rugby paw print of staffies or staffy crosses a month. I nearly cried when she told me. I was like, oh no, you're not fair, so unfair.
Exactly. Well, just to let everybody know, me and Debs are going to have a bit of an earlier night tonight because, as everybody knows that's been watching what we've been doing on the ASU show, myself and Debs have been doing loads of stuff behind the scenes, and I'd just like to say we have got loads of things coming up, different shows and all sorts. Sorry?
I said I can't wait for that one.
Yes, there's quite a few, to say the least. We've got different things that we're sorting out behind the scenes, so things are happening slowly but surely, and obviously we're going to be having to have an early night now and again.
Don't you? No, I've been up since four.
I know. Do you know what?
My dad, nightmare.
Yeah, but the thing is, because I've been going to bed and then I can't sleep properly, or if I go to sleep, then I wake up because I'm in pain with my back. And it's took me ages to get back to sleep. But then as soon as I wake up, my head's thinking, I'm thinking about different things, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. Do you know what I mean? So,
oh, don't.
Just really difficult. So, yes, so me and Debs will be having probably another 5 minutes, and then we're going to call it a night tonight. But listen, we will be obviously bringing more shows and bringing more special guests on the show as well. And we obviously need to say a big hello to Philippa. Hope she's enjoying her rest tonight because I know she's not very well, and sending massive healing for her as well. So I know they'll be doing healing for her in her group as well. So love to all of them as well. So is there any more updates we need to share, Debs?
Updates. Only that I'm coming to yours soon.
Sorry?
Only that I've got 21 more sleeps and I'm at yours.
Yes, it's not long.
I know.
Oh, I'll tell you, it'll be mad.
Oh,
it will be mad. Yeah. Hold on. I'm just having a look what other things I've got going on, if I've got anything that I need to tell you about. Obviously, if anybody's not heard, I've now just started doing the Shropshire Spiritual Centre.
Excuse me, can you start again, Sue, and say you've got the Shropshire Spiritual Centre. It is now yours.
Yes, it is. And I'm absolutely chuffed a bit. Yes, I've literally started it the other day. Last week on a Sunday, it was a fantastic night. We haven't got loads there, but it's not the quantity, it was the quality, and it was fantastic. And we had a medium called Karen Morsley who came, and she was fantastic. A really, really good medium. And we just had a brilliant night, really, really good night. Saturday, we've got a psychic supper, fish and chip psychic supper, so we're looking forward to that. And then on the Sunday, we've got another divine service as well there as well. So it's all been really good.
Okay.
But we're going to have loads of different things, courses and all sorts. So it'll be really good.
So at your centre, do you you have this and this, and organise it, get it ready, run it, and then everything, yeah?
Yeah,
so
the whole lot.
So you do everything, and your rate, and your show, and all your groups.
Yeah.
Superwoman.
Yeah. never mind. Ultimate, but don't forget, like, the 20-odd cats, the four kids.
And your rescues,
The three, three dogs, six rabbits, four chickens, tropical fish, a snake, and never mind being Bill.
I mean, I've organised a street party once and a Halloween party once. You do it 3-4 times a week. Organising, making sure you get... Oh, my God. So if anyone's listening, big out for Sue. That's really hard work, though. It's fair play to her, because it is hard work. Ringing people, making sure you've got everything booked. And
exactly. Exactly. Oh, but it's brilliant. I love it. And I've just got to say as well, for everybody saw the poorly kitten that I told everybody about, the one that's got, had his bad eyes and was, and I didn't, to be honest, for the one night, I didn't know if he was going to make it through the night. Well, I would just like to say that he has snuggled up with me by on the sofa, listening to the Ask Sue show, I'm sure, and he is literally flat out asleep at the side of me. So, obviously, I bored him to death, the poor little thing. But his eyes are fine, he can see fine, and he is hilariously funny. He was purring on the show the other night, literally, because he was cuddled into my neck, and you could actually hear him purring.
Bless.
It's absolutely fantastic. All of them are doing really well, especially the mum with the four kittens as well. They're doing really good as well, so... So thank you very much to everybody who asked about them and all of the support. It was fantastic. And I need to say a big shout out to Shropshire Cat Rescue, who are helping me because they're going to sort out the vouchers and get them all done and ready to be rehomed as well.
Oh, you made me laugh that day. I told you about squirrel and you come back with cats.
I know. Oh, it's crazy. And I've obviously got to mention Coon House, which is at Much Wenlock in Shropshire. Everybody needs to go and have a look. C-U-A-N... Space House, and it's Coon House, Much Wenlock, which is in Shropshire. If you go onto the Ask Sue Show page, I will put that on so you can have a look. And they have got everything from hedgehogs, badgers, bats, birds, bit of all sorts. Do you know what I mean to say the least? And just an absolutely fantastic. So just really, really good. So yeah, Coon House Wildlife Rescue. I've just put the link onto the chat. And it's actually a page on Facebook. So by all means, have a look at that. Absolute fantastic people. So
it must be so satisfying when they go home. Well, not that they go home, so they're all on call probably all the time. But go home and they've done that each day, day in. And like you with your cats, you were so like, ooh.
Yeah.
It must be so satisfying. Not that I haven't, like, rescued them or anything like that. But, you know, it's like, ooh. Nice.
Exactly. And this is the thing. I mean, the trouble with me is I end up where I get too attached to them. And that's why we've already got 7 cats of our own, because I've just never been able to rehome them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But, I mean, they're just beautiful. And they've all got their own personalities. They're all totally different. And the thing I like with the ones that we've just rescued is, at the end of the day, they were outside all the time. They weren't in the house. And they are, you know, they were being fed as and when sort of thing. I mean, he did care for them, but I just don't think he was giving them enough food. They were outside and everything. And when we picked up the mum first, she was just literally massive pregnant. And I just said to Kim and Bill, we've got to get her in the car. We've got to take her home tonight. We can't leave her. She's going to drop any time. And 2 days later, she had 4 beautiful kittens. And it's just amazing, just absolutely amazing. So so thank you very much to everybody who's helped us with that. It's been absolutely fantastic. We've had to get some cardboard to put around the outside of the cage because obviously the kittens are getting bigger now. They've got their eyes have just opened a couple of days ago. So they're starting to move around now. So we've got to put cardboard around the outside of it just so that they can't go through the sides of the cage and everything. So it's been really, really good.
Did anyone ever donate any or lend you any cages?
No, we got a couple of old rabbit hutches here and we literally patched them up with, you know, the fire, the old, what you put round the fires to stop the kids getting to their fires.
Oh, yeah. Fire,
you know, the
fire
big
guard.
Fire great guards, do you know what I mean? So... Yeah, but it's been good. I'm not going to complain because it's been good. Do you know what I mean? And people have asked how they're doing and everything. So it's been really good.
Yes.
Really good.
I know. I wasn't whinging. I was just wondering. Because I've got a dog crate here, but we live so far away. It's like, when I come up, I'm coming up with my trolley, honestly. When I come up, you can have it. Because I'm going to use it then.
Yeah. But, it, you know, the thing is, I always try and keep a free dog cage here. You know, people borrow them off me sometimes, and that's fine. I haven't got a problem with that. But I always try to keep one here because you never know what you might find. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes there may be an injured cat, or there might be... You know, before now, you know, I've picked up injured badgers. I've picked up badger cubs that obviously their mum had been killed. and all sorts. So I've always got a free dog cage somewhere, you know. So
yeah, I'm all right. My mum's got one anyhow. So good. I know when Jay, when we got him, he'd been cruelly treated in the cage, and he saw it, and he actually, like, pooed on the floor and went upset. He was petrified of the cage. And I threw it in the garden. It's like I was so upset that he was so upset. And then the next thing I used it for was top of the box. Because he's like, oh, glad I didn't throw that.
Oh, bless. Gosh. I'm just seeing if there's anything else that I need to update anybody on. So just to say to everybody, if you want to join, there's a couple of groups I'm just seeing. International Dog Campaign Group. That's supported by myself. If anybody wants to join up to that, we've got quite a few links on there. So let me just put these onto the chat as well. Then we've got, let me have a look. Oh, and everything's all gone totally mad.
I can't believe you didn't even let me on tonight. God,
sorry?
I can't believe I can even get on chat tonight or anything. Every time I went to, well, actually clicked up, I'm doing everything brilliant. Sorry.
I think there's been an actual problem because I know that there's been loads of things going wrong with it. So I think there's quite a few people that can't get in tonight, which is upsetting. So if you can't get in tonight, please, please, do you know what I mean? Let us know and we'll see if we can sort that out ready for next time as well.
Yeah, it took ages to log in. I was like, oh, no way. Who's going to think I forgot? I can't get in. And it, then eventually about 9 o'clock it let me in, I think. Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. Right, well, we're going to call it a night in just a couple of minutes. So I'd like to thank everybody who's been listening. If you've had trouble signing into Blog Talk Radio, we do apologise for that hitch, and I will give them a ring tomorrow to see what's actually going on. So thank you very much to everybody who's joined in. If anybody wants to join Deb's, link will be on the Ask Sue show at the end of the show, so you can have a word with Deb's after the show, and also myself as well. And if you want to go onto the Ask Sue show on Facebook, that's where we'll get all, you'll get all the updates of what we're doing and what we're all about, and also the shows that are coming up as well. So if anybody wants to go and have a look at that, that would be brilliant, and just keep sharing the links. This is what we need to do. Keep sharing those links everywhere and tell everybody about ourselves. So thank you very much, Deb, for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. And, like, sorry I'm not more jumpy about normally. I can't shut up, can I? But I'm so tired, like yourself. So tired, so...
Exactly. So thank you very much, Deb. And you'll have to come on another night, darling, anyway.
I can't wait till I'm at yours and you do a show. That'd be funny.
Oh, bless, don't. It'll be good. It'll be good.
Yeah, definitely.
All right then, darling. I shall speak to you soon.
All right then. Bye, sweetheart.
All right then. Bye then, love. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's Debs. Thank you very much, Debs, for coming on to the show tonight. And we're going to have a bit of an earlier night tonight, simply because we're both absolutely tired, staying up till 7 o'clock in the morning and doing all these links and things for the show and everything. It does catch up eventually. So I'd like to thank everybody for joining the show tonight. Also, go and have a look at the advertising website, the Ask Sue advertising website. That's www.asksue.co.uk, and that's literally where you can advertise pretty well anything on there. So go and join up. It's www.asksue.co.uk, and that's advertising. You can literally advertise anything on there. That would be absolutely fantastic. Everybody's welcome there. And I'm going to leave you with that, and we will have the show tomorrow night, same time, same place, and I'll catch up with you all tomorrow night. Thanks very much, and good night. Goodbye.